listeners, greetings to you all and welcome to this half hour of Radio Fellowship. This is your friend Harry Benton presenting for your listening enjoyment another interesting program of Times of Refreshing. As we share this time together, we trust that each of our listeners today will receive a spiritual blessing through the music and meditation we share with you. Now musically, we open our program with a song entitled, Glory to the King.
In a stable town, in Bethlehem, you can hear a baby cry. At his mother's side, and in a manger lay. A star up in the sky, and they come and lay their treasures upon the hay. Glory to the King of Kings, peace on earth to all good men. For a child is born to you this very day. Glory to the Lord of all, He is Jesus Christ the King, and this moment shall be known as Christmas.
On our program today, we are going to share with you from the Word of God some of the reasons why God sent His Son Jesus Christ into this world. The first thing of importance to consider is the number of times we read of the word sent in John's Gospel, particularly in relation to God and His Son. John, in writing his Gospel, dwells much on the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He was very God. And yet, in the matter of our redemption, He was God manifest, seen in the flesh. This truth of Scripture we firmly believe, that Jesus Christ is God. Now, the meaning of the word sent in this relationship between God and His Son is this: to send away from something near, to fulfill a mission. in the eternal council of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your redemption and mine, our salvation was planned. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, we read these words. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. That is, when the appointed time in God's divine calendar had come, God sent his Son to be born of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. How amazing, how wonderful! Jesus left the glories of heaven. He came from something near, from the bosom of the Father, from the fellowship of the Trinity, to transcend and be found in the form of human flesh, sin apart, to embark on fulfilling the mission God gave him to do. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John chapter 4, says of himself in verse 34, "My meat, that is my mission, my work is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Friends, in his coming to this scene, it is important that we always remember he came to fulfill the word of God. He came because God promised in Genesis chapter 3 that one would come to be our Saviour. In Matthew 18 and verse 11 it says, "The Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15 that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. In John chapter 3 and verse 17 we read that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It is lovely to read the words recorded in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13. Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Friends, another reason why Jesus came to earth is found in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He came to give life. "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." The giver of life, he who is the source of all life, came from heaven for the express purpose to give us eternal life. How grateful we should be to our Heavenly Father that he had this in mind when he sent his Son to be our Saviour. Now let me remind you of another wonderful reason why Jesus came. It was to show us what God was like. During the course of his ministry, Jesus could say, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." John chapter 1 and verse 18. Now you may ask the question, what did Jesus mean when he uttered these words? Simply this: God is spirit and therefore invisible. He does not have a human body. Although he did appear to men in the Old Testament in visible form, as an angel or as a man, these appearances did not reveal what God is really like. They were merely temporary appearances by which he chose to speak to his people. "The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." The Lord Jesus is God's only begotten Son. This means he is God's unique Son. There is no other Son like him. The words, "he is in the bosom of the Father," means he ever occupies a place of special nearness to God the Father. Even when he was here on earth, he was still in the bosom of the Father. He was one with God and equal with God. This Blessed One, our Lord Jesus, has fully revealed to men what God is like. When men saw Jesus, they saw God. They heard God speak. They felt God's love and tenderness. God's thoughts and attitudes towards mankind have been fully told out by His Son. Now, after we listen to our next recording, we will continue our topic on why God sent His Son into this world. We continue our meditation on the coming of our Lord Jesus into the world. We turn our thoughts to the time of His birth as recorded by Matthew in chapter 2. When Jesus was born, we read that wise men travelled from the east to worship the babe of Bethlehem. Having been guided by the star, and on arriving at the city of His birth, they inquired, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" These earnest seeking travellers, weary from their long journey, undoubtedly had read with deep interest the Old Testament scriptures prophesying that one would be born of David's line and that he would sit on David's throne. Hence their earnest inquiry, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" These wise men had come to give honour and worship to this long-promised heir to David's throne. Friends, as we read the Gospels, it is revealed to us that Jesus was never given this royal honour of being King of the Jews. This title was only his by name, as far as the nation of Israel was concerned. We read in John chapter 1 and verse 11, "He came unto his own people, but his own people received him not." They had no desire to be subjects of this newborn king, nor to come under his rule and authority. He was known and recognized as king at his birth. But when Jesus presented himself to the people during the 3.5 years of his public ministry, which the four Gospels record, he was rejected as king. Led by the religious leaders of that day, their voices were heard in unison. We will not have this man to rule over us. Their rejection of him was demonstrated right to the end, to when he was crucified. It is interesting to read in John chapter 18, when Jesus stood before Pilate, he was addressed with this question, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus in reply said, "You say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this purpose I came into this world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." John 18, verse 37. Simply what this verse is saying is this: Pilate, what you say about me is true. I am a king, but my kingdom is concerned with truth, not with swords and shields, as we read in verse 36. It was to bear witness to the truth that he came into this world. The truth here means the truth about God, about Christ himself, about the Holy Spirit, man, sin and salvation, and all the other great teachings of our Christian faith. Those who loved the truth heard his voice. That is, they embraced it and received it into their hearts, and by faith entered into the kingdom of God. In John 3 and verse 3, we read these words, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God."
You are the King of glory. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Lord of heaven and earth. You're the Son of righteousness. Angels bow down before you.
It is important and of great spiritual value to consider what John has to say concerning our Lord Jesus Christ as King in the 19th chapter of his Gospel. In the opening verses of this chapter, we see the attitude of heart, the disrespect the Roman soldiers had towards the Lord Jesus. Having arrested him in the garden, having witnessed his unjust trial and condemnation in the judgment hall, having scourged Jesus by command of the Roman governor, they give Jesus a mock coronation. In verse 2 we read, he was given a crown and a purple robe to wear. Matthew, recording this mock coronation, says they put a reed in his hand. The crown was a crown of thorns, a symbol of the curse which sin brought to mankind. Here we have a picture of our Lord Jesus bearing the curse for our sins, so that we as sinners might go free. He wore a crown of thorns, that we might wear a crown of glory. The purple robe was the colour of royalty. This, too, reminds us of how our sins were placed on Jesus in order that we might be clothed with the robe of God's righteousness. Crowned with thorns and in his kingly robe, described by Luke in chapter 23 and verse 11 as a gorgeous robe, and with reed in his hand for a scepter, an emblem of kingly authority, the soldiers mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." My friends, as the day proceeded, Pilate, desiring to release Jesus, takes him in his humiliation and suffering and presents him to the people, saying, "Behold the man, I find no fault in him." Verses 5 and 6. Reading on in this 19th chapter of John, we read in verses 14 and 15 of Pilate saying to the Jews, "Behold your king. Shall I crucify your king?" In response to these words, the Jews were the more determined that Jesus should be crucified, for they said, "We have no king but Caesar." This was the language and testimony of a faithless nation. Refusing the sent one from God for a wicked heathen monarch. Did you know, my friends, that their reply was a remarkable fulfillment of Genesis chapter 40 and verse 10? A prophetic word of scripture which says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come." By their own admission, the scepter or government had departed from the nation of Israel. Their words also proved that Shiloh, the rest giver, he had come. As John describes the crucifixion scene, he records the difference of opinions between Pilate, the trial judge, and the chief priests of Judaism. When a person is crucified, it was custom to put a title above the head of the crucified and to indicate the crime. Pilate ordered that the title, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews," should be placed above the center cross. In verse 21 we read, "Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not, the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews." They wanted the words to read as a claim made by Jesus, but not as a fact, which it was. Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." My dear friends, this wonderful person of whom we speak today was acknowledged by wise men at his birth to be king. He was also acknowledged in his death by an unbelieving infidel to be king. In his resurrection, he is acclaimed to be king, exalted and seated upon his throne in glory, waiting the appointed day when he shall return to occupy David's throne to reign in righteousness as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Rejoice and be glad, the Saviour has come, who took at his cradle his cross and his throne. Rejoice and be glad, it is sunshine at last, the clouds have departed, the shadows are past. Tell the story of him who once was slain.
Rejoice and be glad, the blood has been shed. Redemption is finished, the price has been paid. Rejoice and be glad, now the pardon is free. The just for the unjust has died on the tree.
Trust through our program today you have been led to a deeper spiritual understanding and appreciation of God's love for you. He willingly gave His Son to be your Saviour. Jesus cannot be your Saviour until you personally receive Him into your heart and life. God, as the giver, has done His part. Today, right where you are, will you in faith accept heaven's love gift offered so freely to you? Now in closing, we make mention of our free cassette offer. A copy of this program is available to all our listeners, free and postage paid. To obtain your free copy, just address your request to Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale, 31400. When writing, be sure to include in your letter this number, 926, cassette number 926. And our mailing address again is Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale, 31400. Friends, this broadcast has been a radio missionary outreach of the Christian Brethren Assemblies of Victoria, and is made possible by God's provision through His people. Now, till next we meet, this is Harry Venton wishing you God's richest blessing. Goodbye for now, and remember, keep looking up.